Good afternoon and welcome to the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. It is Monday, the 14th of April, 2025, and this is program number 1355 of the Lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. Now, in addition to Radio 101.1 FM, you can also get us at our website, rcisaintlucia.com, and we are also streaming live on Facebook. You just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International, and please be sure to like and share that link as well with your friends and family. Don't forget, you can call in to tell us what's on your plates today, and the number to do so is 4523046. Again, that mainline number is 4523046. You can also reach us via WhatsApp, and that is 724-0008. And you can message in, you can call in via WhatsApp. And again, it is 724-0008. We want to send out some birthday greetings today to Miss Thea Benjamin. Happy, happy birthday to you, Thea. And we do hope that you're having an absolutely wonderful birthday celebration. Look back in time and we go back to the year 1865 on this day when U.S. President Abraham Lincoln was shot in the head by John Wilkes Booth. That happened at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C., and he died a day later. In the year 1894, the first public showing of Thomas Edison's kinetoscope was done, and that was actually the beginning of film. It was a moving pictures kinetoscope. And in the year 1912, on this day, the RMS Titanic, the world's largest ocean liner at this time, hit an iceberg at 11:40 p.m. off Newfoundland and sank in the early hours of the following day. 1914, on this day, Dr. Harry Plutz isolated the bacteria that caused typhus fever at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. 1935, on this day, the Black Sunday dust storm ravaged the U.S. Midwest, leading to the region being named the Dust Bowl. 1981, on this day, April the 14th, the first space shuttle, the Columbia, returned to Earth after 2 days and 6 hours in space. And on this day in 2003, the Human Genome Project was completed with 99% of the human genome sequenced to an accuracy of 99.99%. We now move on to our dish of the day. The daily dish is brought to you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Tiles Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Tiles Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A+. Did all kind of tests. Come down to Tiles Plus. We also got glassware and vanity. Boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best tiles on island. Trust me. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosses, you Grozy Lakes, and Slack Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
Welcome back to our program for today. And of course, we want to extend best wishes to all those who are marking this week as Holy Week. Yesterday being Palm Sunday. And of course, it's a time of a very special commemoration for Christians around the world. And of course, depending on where you might be, there may be definitely a lot of different ways of commemorating this moment in time. Of course, in St. Lucia and by Good Friday, we'll be seeing processions, the way of the cross. You saw another procession earlier on, and of course, that is the result of Palm Sunday, commemorating that sort of triumphal arrival of Jesus of Nazareth into the city of Jerusalem, the temple city of Jerusalem at the time. And so, of course, there is a lot to take in. In some cultures, it's quite elaborate in terms of the events. You may see sometimes reenactments of the way of sorrow, the Via Dolorosa, and with individuals, physically carrying across their town. In some instances, in the past, we have seen people, in fact, being put onto crosses in commemoration of the events that happened about 2,000 years ago. In other countries, and we've seen quite a lot of that these days on Instagram, on some people's feeds, images of the different processions that happen in many Spanish cities, very elaborate floats, if you want to call them that, being hoisted and lifted by hundreds of people in procession. And so certainly it's part of the ritual of religion. And certainly many religions have different forms of public demonstration or remonstration of their beliefs. And so whether you might be in Mecca for the Hajj, or you might be on the banks of the river Ganges as part of, you know, that their Hindu ceremonies that happen as well. And of course, at this time, with Christians who engage in those, demonstrations or public demonstrations of their faith. So certainly we want to wish everybody a very blessed Holy Week. Now, unfortunately, over the weekend, we were reminded that violence is often not too far away from our lives. And of course, even with Holy Week, of what is being marked, in fact, is a very violent act of individuals being executed on crosses and tortured as well, scourging and all of that. And so, unfortunately, the issue of violence is still one that we have to be dealing with thousands and thousands of years on. And in this instance, we are seeing what appears to be, you know, targeted instances of people being shot, and unfortunately, two individuals being found shot and killed within occupants of a vehicle in the Inglewood subdivision near Grand Rivière. And so I know as we can see, of course, the Royal St. Lucia Police Force are seeming to try their very best in being out there and engaging in a lot of different operations. In fact, over in the St. Lucia Times, we got a news of 9 persons being arrested, with weapons being seized in a city police operation undertaken by the Royal St. Lucia Police Force, including narcotics being brought into that, magazines, AR-15 stands, ammunition rounds. So it's clear, definitely, that we have too many weapons in the hands of individuals out there, and those weapons are in many instances being held illegally by individuals who don't have the requisite licenses to be able to use them. And so we are dealing with this continuing struggle with respect to gang violence. And of course, it is way too easy, unfortunately, for individuals to be using guns in particular to take on these types of very horrendous acts. And it would almost appear that there's a continuous tit for tat, a back and forth, individuals being targeted. The big question, of course, is how do you break that cycle? How do you break the cycle of hate? How do you get people to not believe in an eye for an eye as the solution to their issues, and you know, and issues with individuals can sometimes be very, very deep-seated, and it could be family-related. It could be quite often related to some sort of money issue or property issue, and we're seeing the impacts of these things far, far too often. We've always had crime. Every society has crime, but of course, the challenge is to be able to ensure that people can deal with their disputes in ways that do not require this this violence. And that, I think, is a major challenge for our society in general, in terms of moving forward. We've, of course, also know the association of drugs and narcotics trade, and how that can be exceedingly violent, exceedingly ruthless, and certainly does not benefit the individuals who are enticed into getting into them. Many, many people end up getting enticed by the idea of quick money. And unfortunately, just like Ponzi schemes, they come crashing down very quickly. In the case of Ponzi schemes, however, you can walk away with your head on your shoulders still. Yes, you'll be out of pocket. Yes, you'll be very upset. But you've still got your lives. But unfortunately, in this type of situation, in dealing with gang-driven narcotics and that trade, unfortunately, it is ruthless to the point where individuals are taken, their lives are taken away from them way, way too early. And it, of course, that message is one that needs to be resonated in the ideas of individuals, because people are making a choice. They're, in many instances, they're being induced or seduced into getting into these types of activities, and they get, and it might start off with, hey, you know, we just want you to move something from here to there. Oh, hey, you know, you can come along with us. Let's go to Martinique, right? And let's have a good time. And then it, you get, and then of course they begin offering other things. They may begin offering drugs and alcohol and other resources, and so they rope a lot of these young men into these types of activities, and then before you know it, yeah, they're expecting, you need to prove that you're a man. You need to prove that you that you're one of us, that you're part of the gang. And unfortunately, sometimes it leads to violence. Far, far too often it leads to violence. And the idea that this person stole from another, because again, it's this whole desire of getting rich quick. And so when there are no rules and people believe that they can somehow, you know, fool the other side of, you know, getting something or getting ahead, it ends up becoming very, very problematic. And so this challenge that we have is certainly a very deep-seated challenge of our society as to precisely how we are going to be able to make that break with what we're dealing with now. Is certainly going to take a lot of effort from everybody on board, including those who quite often know what's going on, aware of what's going on. Because, of course, we live in a very small society. We live, the degrees of separation might just be one or two. And quite often, a lot of people are actually aware of the activities and whereabouts of certain individuals. And so, but unfortunately, they don't have the confidence, or sometimes they feel that it's not their place. It's not their business. They're staying away from that because they don't want any trouble. And unfortunately, we're seeing again over and over these types of activities being perpetuated. So let us really hope that we can see more support being provided by the society to the police. Let us also hope that we can see that we are bringing forward police of integrity and systems that are ensuring that the police are held accountable. because people have to have that confidence that the police are, in fact, going to do what they're supposed to do and are protecting the public interest and are not being corrupted in protecting the interests of those who they, in fact, should be trying to bring to justice. So it is certainly something that we need to be very, very mindful of at this time. You know, in some respects, the point was made at Holy Week that people ended up choosing a known criminal, a known murderer, a known individual who was involved in insurrection and killings and whatnot, and they chose that person to set free in light of a decision, a choice that was offered to them in the face of, and in fact, then sending an innocent person to be killed. So let's hope that we can not be that kind of people, that we can certainly do our part to ensure that justice is being done and that we're not going to be corrupted by individuals who have their own personal interest of greed and whatever else they may be pursuing. That's our dish of the day. When we come back, we'll continue with some calls and some other matters in the news.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test, you fund, beatable cost. Customer service, A+, did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got gasoline and vanity. Boss, boss, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best test on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosses, you Groselets, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939. Test Plus.
Welcome back to the Lunchroom here at Radio Caribbean International. Of course, the number to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, it is 452-3046, 452-3046. You can also reach us at our WhatsApp number. That is 724-0008. Over the weekend as well, some sports activities. The St. Lucia Premier League was kicked off, and that happened at the Mindu Phillip Park, and that was under some brand new lights being put on for the first time over at that ground, of course, the historic Mindu Phillip Park, and that involved some teams. I think the one team from Monrepo facing off against what is known as the Achilles City Blasters, which is the home side, and they ended up actually being victorious over the Monrepo Pioneers, and that happening over Friday evening. So of course we do hope that the new facility is one that is going to be well maintained. We've seen quite a lot of investment being made in terms of some sporting infrastructure, existing sporting infrastructure, as well as new sporting infrastructure. And that, of course, is all is good for the, augurs well for the our sports individuals. Of course, we've had a very amazing year last year for sport in St. Lucia. And certainly, let's hope that we can continue apace in that regard in all the various areas, whether it might be football, cricket, athletics, and the like, and other sports, basketball. So let's hope that, of course, we see a very, very positive use of these types of facilities. Just very quickly, wanted to touch on as well the matter of Creators Alliance. And that is still in the news. We're seeing some action being taken in other Caribbean countries, individuals, in fact, being held and arrested, held for questioning I think in Grenada, in one instance, that has actually occurred. We're seeing certainly the various laws of different countries being applied in this matter. And, of course, it is a story of continued interest for thousands of St. Lucians, apparently. And there's, in fact, a story from the St. Lucia Times, which I'm just going to share very quickly to give a sense of the impact of some people. And it actually begins with a quote: "People were getting paid until they weren't. When a 25-year-old South Lewis Community College student invested EC $400, or about $130 US, in Creators Alliance on March the 14th, he thought he'd found a smart way to make extra income. The platform promised steady monthly returns just for creating and uploading videos. But by April, his hopes were unraveling. Quote, "You expected to make your money back by the end of the month, and the task you were supposed to do was create videos and release them on the platform," he explained to St. Lucia Times. "They had different ways to increase your money by buying a video package." Now, like probably dozens of others in St. Lucia, he's left with nothing. The digital platform, which lured users with returns on video advertising packages priced between US$130 and $1,999, has abruptly shut down, dissolving WhatsApp groups, stalling payments, and leaving investors, I suppose, quote-unquote, investors, scrambling. What started as a simple pitch, earn money by uploading 5 videos daily, soon grew complicated. During a promotion, he was allowed up to 15 videos weekly, but the real hurdle was cashing out. He was required to set up a chain of financial tools to process earnings. Quote, "You had to set up a brokerage for cryptocurrency, and then you would link that with Creators Alliance and use your Red Dot payment card or your normal bank account on the Binance crypto exchange. So you are withdrawing from Creators Alliance to Binance to the brokerage and then from Binance to your bank account," he said. His first payment was due in April, but by then, CA had gone silent. A street vendor, 29, who joined in January, also never received a payout, though he said he saw others profiting. Quote, "I guess it shut down because maybe too many people were not cashing out their money in time and waited for their money to build up before drawing it," he said, criticizing chat groups for veering off topic instead of addressing CA issues. I must say that person sounds a little bit, I'm still hopeful there, but having some false hope, I suppose. It continues. A 20-year-old call center worker said she was introduced to the platform by a friend and noticed several co-workers joining. Quote, "Several of us saw it as a way of making some extra cash since we didn't get paid much anyway. But I think I joined too late," she said. "I joined at the end of March and lost the money I invested since everything crashed in April." But some also have good tales to tell. They were among early adopters, counting profits, while latecomers count losses. Among the beneficiaries was a 27-year-old self-employed man who joined in December 2024, scaling up from an initial US$799 package within 2 months. "By about February, I was on $1,999. I didn't upgrade anymore, so it was straight profit from there," he said. He uses earnings to fund his business. He blames latecomers, saying they had been judgmental and critical at the start, and that St. Lucians, quote, "only cooperate when things go good." Those who joined just before the shutdown transferred big sums, resulting in major losses, he claimed. A 52-year-old ancillary businessman had a similar positive experience after joining in December. Quote, I started at the first tier, and after recouping my initial investment, I moved up by investing bigger, he said. I was able to recover that money just in time and also made some extra cash before things crashed, end quote. And that story coming from the St. Lucia Times' Josiah St. Luce. And it still appears that the comments that you're reading from some of these individuals, they still pretty much believe that this is the name of the game, that you're supposed to be able to get in early and get out early. Now, some people may argue that you hear those types of statements being made in terms of how people see stock exchanges and stock markets. But generally speaking, stock markets have been increasing steadily over time, over a very, very, very long period of time. What we're seeing here are effectively almost fly-by-night type of investment arrangements, because if it is that you're basically saying that this is only going to be around for 3 months or 4 months, that's not a very steady business. That's not a very steady business model. And so one should be very, very skeptical about that type of idea. It's also interesting how the individuals are, in fact, blaming the people who got into the program late. Mind you, the whole idea is that they would have had to have, in fact, recruited or gotten people into this program or played a part in some way, right? And so, you're seeing a blame game amongst the individuals, not blaming the entity, not blaming the company, but actually blaming the individuals who were joining late. So it's a very, very unfortunate situation that we see unraveling. And it certainly suggests that we do need a lot more by way of financial literacy as well as digital literacy when it comes to these types of programs. Because more and more, we're going to be seeing individuals promoting various schemes, various investment opportunities that are going to be promoted as legitimate ways of making money, easy ways of making money. You don't have to do much. You just have to do one little task, and that's about it. And you should certainly be concerned when it becomes very, very difficult for you to actually cash out or withdraw your money. And that description that was given by the, was it the 29-year-old or 25-year-old, about the various hoops and hurdles that he had to jump over, creating a Red Dot payment card and then a Binance crypto exchange, and then you've got to set up a brokerage, and you got to do all these various things to be able to actually simply withdraw. And you should be very, very mindful of the risks in those respects. And of course, you have people who are saying, look, I went out and I made lots of money trading on crypto. Of course, the others who will say that, you've got to take a risk to gain. And of course, investment, yes, is and will always certainly have a level of risk. The big question is how to manage that risk. I would like to believe that some people have perhaps learned something from this experience, but by the likes of it, that's not necessarily what you're hearing from some of the participants coming out of this article. It certainly sounds that they are perhaps more regretting the fact that they may not have gotten into the program early enough, or they're regretting that certain people got in and And you know, because of their behavior in a WhatsApp group, that this is why things went the way they went. So I think it suggests that, again, if many of these individuals were given the opportunity in a similar type of scheme, they may very well, as of now, just based on what we're reading, they may very well be looking to get back into a very similar type of arrangement. And that certainly, to me, is a bit concerning, a bit worrying. And I think it really does suggest that there's a need for some form of a financial education, financial literacy, and to guide people and to ensure that they don't fall into certain unnecessary losses, which would come from the start. So, of course, in these schemes, there will always be some people who, quote unquote, went in early and who would have received some payments, because that's how the trust in the system is built up, by the persons who are in fact cashing out the most on the top. Right? The idea is that you've got to bait the waters, and the baiting of the waters is through ensuring that some of these people look pretty happy, right? And so happy fish will maybe catch a lot more fish. And so that's the idea there. And so once that that is sufficiently attractive, it then means that the nets can come in to haul in the catch of that day. So certainly we've got to be very mindful of this current situation as to how it will pan out from a legal perspective. We'll have to wait to see what happens in our jurisdiction as well as in some others. Now, we're actually due for our weather report at this time. And that, of course, is brought to us through the kind compliments of the St. Lucia Met Services. Island Star. Oh, yeah. We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. We'll have to make the right choice. Island Star.
Sets, pieces and ground. Everything you need, peace on the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all at Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Cass Street, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Viewfort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
Close to the 1.1, it's now time for your weather report as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talent Bath. The forecast for St. Lucia Valley for the next 24 hours, winds will be blowing from the east and near 18 miles per hour or 30 kilometers per hour. The weather, apart from a few brief early morning showers, the skies will be generally fair. The forecast for the Lesser Antilles, apart from a few early morning showers, skies will be generally fair. And the weather summary, the Atlantic High Pressure System will continue to generate moderate easterly winds over the Eastern Caribbean region during the next few days. A relatively dry and stable lower atmosphere will restrict shower activity over most of the region during the forecast period. This was your weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talamba.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
in sets, pieces and ground. Everything you need is on the house out. For the best price and the latest style, take a little drive down to Island Style Car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say, yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarusa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Cass Street, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Beaufort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453-TILE. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
Welcome back to our program here at the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, happy Monday to everybody as we have entered into Holy Week. We're going to touch a little bit on some of course, the ongoing trade matters. But, of course, if you want to call in to tell us what's on your plate today, the number to do so is 452-3046. Now, we did see a significant about turn by the Trump administration, by President Donald Trump, on the matter of that ongoing trade war with China. And, of course, you would have heard that, as we mentioned, it's been an increase after increase after increase in terms of the rates with respect to tariffs on China, as high as 145% on Chinese goods entering the U.S. market. But guess what? And in fact, not too even maybe last week, we in fact saw attempts by some companies to try to bypass that entire arrangement. I think there was a suggestion that Apple had flown nearly 5 plane loads of iPhones from China to India as a means of trying to shift and escape those tariffs. But we're now seeing that Mr. Trump has decided to forego actually placing any tariffs at all on particular products, and those products being some of the most important products that China actually produces and ships to the United States of America, and they include things like phones, including the iPhone, and they include other things like that of solar cells, solar panels, other electronic items. They're all now exempt. And you can well imagine, those are the expensive items and the main. Those are the things that will tend to catch a lot of, they'll actually tend to catch a fairly high amount in any case. And so let's actually have a look at that. Now I'm seeing the light blinking and I'm not sure what happens. It just seems to cut off after a while. I'm not sure what's going on there. Okay, sorry about that. Yes, seem to have had a little bit of an issue there. But if you do want to call in, you just have to call into 452-3046. Our apologies. We seem to have had a bit of an issue with the line there. But yep, so an about turn exempting. And remember, this was after there were statements to the effect that there would be no exemptions on these tariffs. And it appears that effectively we want to place the highest tariffs ever, but for the most expensive items coming into the U.S. and perhaps the most important one, semiconductors, really important for the tech industry, and they have all been exempt from those tariffs, which were actually set just a couple days ago. Of course, China itself is looking at its situation in terms of trade. The U.S. is its largest trading partner, as you can well imagine. And a significant amount of Chinese exports head to the United States of America. China is, of course, the world's largest exporter by far. And the largest of its exports is actually in consumer electronics. And of about $96 billion worth of Chinese exports in consumer electronics heads to the United States of America. That represents about 22% of the U.S.'s exports, imports from China. You then also have the likes of textiles and clothing, and you can think to a lot of those new fads out there, the sort of instant clothing lines, the Sheins, but even beyond that, a lot of other textile and clothing material is produced in China. And overall, that's, I mean, in terms of China's exports of that, it's somewhere in the region of about over $400 billion worth of textile and clothing exports. And of that, $68 billion heads to the United States of America. It represents roughly about 17% of U.S. imports from China. Also, home appliances, you name it, and the United States is certainly importing it from China. Medical instruments. Interestingly enough, one of them that seems to be catching the 145% tariff for things like syringes. But anyways, optical equipment, glasses. You got things like wood and wood products, construction and other construction machinery, traditional machinery, electrical equipment, semiconductor equipment. You got things like batteries, which are really important right about now in terms of the renewable energy thrust, and other clean energy equipment. That's a significant amount of what the U.S. imports, about 13% of their Chinese imports. They're importing metals, base metals like steel, aluminium. They're importing chemicals. They're importing agricultural products. Over $10 billion worth of Chinese agricultural products come into the United States of America. Transport equipment, cars, of course, believe it or not, and other forms, trains, to a much smaller degree, of course. And the list goes on. Semiconductors, $9 billion worth of semiconductors from China heading into the United States of America. And of course, the list goes on. So, yes, definitely, China is pretty dependent on the United States in terms of a market for its goods. But at the very same time, China is also seeing how it can potentially find new markets. As to whether they can ever fill that gap, and as to whether this impact is actually resulting in a drop in the U.S. trade deficit, that's somewhat debatable. What you may very well find is that there will be attempts to go through third countries, as we're seeing with India. There will be attempts to look for other countries to be able to provide some of the things in some instances, if possible at all. You may find that that may happen. Some of these countries, some of these companies are in fact in multiple countries, and so maybe they may have the opportunity or the potential to shift some of their production volumes from one to the other. As to whether we'll be seeing some of that happening, we'll have to see how companies are managing with these high tariffs. But no doubt there'll be a lot of companies also lobbying to be able to try to get some sort of reprieve in respect of these products, because it's not going to go down well with the U.S. consumer if, in fact, they're going to be seeing significant rises to the extent of doubling of the price of critical items. And so that is unlikely to be the outcome that will be able to hold. At some point, people are going to be completely outraged if, in fact, they're going to see doubling of prices of certain goods. And so, of course, the companies are going to try as much as possible to prevent this from happening. But it is going to certainly have a lot of disruption. And even before these announcements of the most recent tariff hikes, we already knew that some companies were in fact almost hedging, so to speak. They were stocking up. They were stockpiling on particular items, buying up a lot of things in advance because of the threat of an impending trade war. Now, of course, the bigger companies, which have deep pockets, can in fact afford to do that. But it's not the same for a lot of smaller entities that in fact have to depend on almost immediate purchases. Now, I'm not sure I'm seeing the light blinking, but is it, do we have a caller on here? Not too sure what's going on with our phone lines at the moment. We see the light blinking very shortly, and then it just seems to just go blank. So the situation at play, of course, continues to be a very, very interesting one. It would appear that, of course, the Trump administration has had to back down on some of the critical items at play. And so in as much as of April the 9th, we were hearing of a significant price hike. That is, in fact, not going to be perhaps on all items at all. Let's take in a call at this time. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom.
Good afternoon, Mr. George.
How are you doing, caller?
Not too bad. Had difficulty to find you.
I know. I'm not sure what is going on with our phones, but I'm glad that you were able to make it through.
Yeah. Right. Now, we talk about China. China have some trillions. America owing China trillions of dollars. We not say billion. It's trillions. Now, there's something they call a bond. Sometimes St. Lucia even have bond, put in bond for sale.
Yes.
But the Chinese buying most of the American bonds.
Yes.
That's why.
There was actually a threat that you, go on, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's one they call the green bonds. I never heard of the green bonds, but now you're hearing of it. So if America owns China, so can China sell those bonds?
Well, there was in fact a very big worry by the Trump administration that in fact there would have been, China would have started selling off its bonds, cashing them out, and of course.
Yeah.
That would mean that the U.S. Government, the federal government, would be faced with a potential crisis in terms of its cash to be able to affect the work of the government. So the U.S. has a very high debt-to-GDP ratio at the moment. I mean, I think it's over 100%, actually. And they're running
the
a...
U.S. is...
it's 106%.
Something like $36 trillion, you know. $36 trillion.
Yeah, so it is a significant amount of money. And unfortunately for them, their deficit, they're still running a fiscal deficit. So it keeps on rising and rising and rising. I think it's over 120% now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really high in during COVID. It came down a little bit, but not by any significant amount. Since the year, about the year 2014, the U.S. has had a debt to GDP ratio of over 100%, right? And remember the advised prudential place that, you know, economies are advised to, at least in the case of OECS countries and European countries, they advise you should be around 60%. The U.S. has gotten away from that because it's the world's currency, basically. It has the control of the world's currency, reserve currency, that of the U.S. dollar. And as you rightfully pointed out, that is what a lot of countries are desirous of having, to hold within their central banks. And
So where's the U.S. gold? It looked like the U.S. just printing papers.
No, well, caller, but that went out the door in the 1970s. That tying of the gold standard, which is something that was in place in the old days.
The money that in the old days, the money Richard Nixon, you have it in gold in your treasury.
Yes, yeah, but Richard Nixon did away with that, the gold standard, for some time. So most of these countries have been printing far, far more than what they hold in gold. So that has been the norm for, and that exists for all countries at this point in time. The gold reserves, if you look at the worldwide gold reserves, they're nowhere near the amount of
the
amount of money in circulation in the economies of the world today. So that is not something that's held true too, again, right? And so countries are looking for a lot of other things to be able to hold. But of course, there are some people who are saying that part of the Trump plan might be that they're looking to actually cause for a devaluation of the U.S. dollar. That might mean that there might be fewer countries looking to hold on to the U.S. dollar as much as before. It might make the U.S. a little bit more competitive in that its products might be, more...
Stop there.
Yes.
If a country linked the currency to the U.S. dollars and then the American devalued the dollar, what happened? Like country like Barbados.
And St. Lucia and the Eastern Caribbean. Well,
yes.
It would...
So what will happen to it?
Well, it would mean that, relative to the United States, to the U.S. dollar, you'd still be the same. You'd still be pegged the same.
Because
so if
Timothy
most of your...
Timothy Antoine, sometime this week, said that the St. Lucia and the Eastern Caribbean dollars is sound and safe, and very safe. But if tomorrow America decides to devalue their money...
It will have an impact. There's no getting away from that. In that, it would make products from countries whose currencies are now going to be higher relative to the U.S. dollar, right? It would mean that the products coming from those countries are going to be likely to be more expensive. That's the first thing that it would do. It would, relative to the U.S., though. It would still be effectively the same, right? So if you're trading through the U.S., then it would still be, the same exchange rate, that you're utilizing.
Yeah.
The big question is
the
whether...
The other thing is China, most of the time, devaluing their currency.
Well, so right. So then the question is, how would those other countries react to that type of situation? Would it be that they would begin dropping U.S. dollars or they would be pulling out of U.S. investments? It's a very dangerous thing because I think too, the other thing too is that a significant amount of the U.S. economy is financial services, and it's tied to monies in stock markets. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out for the U.S. as well, if that approach in terms of trying to devalue. It's been, in my mind, and I think in most people's minds, a bigger advantage for them to be able to have the world's reserve currency. It may mean that in the case of the countries like St. Lucia that keep U.S. cash reserves, they may wish to diversify. So they may wish to also hold maybe euros as well as U.S. dollars. You may see a shift like that occurring.
Yeah, because a lot of people look on the U.S. dollars as hard currency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, all right, and of course, to protect their ability to trade, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's we'll have to... I guess I'd have to perhaps get somebody who has a greater sense as to precisely how this thing may actually play out in the long term, as to who would really win and lose. And I mean, it's always a risk, right? There've been there have been suggestions in the past, for example, by the International Monetary Fund and others, that the countries like St. Lucia should perhaps devalue their currency. And the thinking there has been that it would make the St. Lucian economy more competitive or more attractive to its main trading partner, which is the U.S. So, because for all intents and purposes, most of our foreign exchange is actually coming out of the United States of America through tourism, right?
Yeah, that's hard currency.
And so, as to how competitive we are in the tourism space, it might be beneficial to actually have it that way. But you see, again, the bigger question then is, would we still be able to, we'd have to wean ourselves off of our dependence on importation from the United States of America to some degree, because obviously things would get more expensive at the supermarkets, at other places. And so then the big question is, how do you tackle those issues?
So if they come with tariffs, would we, whatever we get from the United States, like they send me a barrel and I still have to go and pay for that barrel, and the I still have to pay tax on that barrel, or what? What happened? Because it's tariff they're talking about.
Well, the tariff would not, I mean, the same tariff structure that St. Lucia has is still in place.
Yes.
So if you're importing a barrel out of the United States of America, based on the tariff system that he's put in, these reciprocal tariffs, quote unquote, you would not be impacted directly in terms of what you pay. However, there was a suggestion, there was another sort of fee, a shipping fee that was being proposed by the U.S. Trade Representative, and that was on all Chinese-made ships, right, where they were proposing to put this $1 million flat fee each time the ship has to travel, right, has to enter a U.S. port. So that's where there's a bit of a challenge now, because it would mean that the freight charges would be higher.
The Chinese switch the ship, because they talk about brand new ship that will travel to Florida. So if the Chinese, what they have, the existing ship, switch it off and send what they already have to Florida and keep back the new ship, what will happen there?
No, well, the problem is that you have existing ships. These companies like Tropical have ships on their fleet that are Chinese made.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they would be charged on those old ships, right? That's the problem. So it's not even like they would be getting a break on ships that they already own,
mm-hmm.
right? Versus new ships coming in. These are the old ships that they already own.
Yeah.
They would still have been charged on this rate which was being proposed for those ships. So that would have caused for the increasing of the freight charges being passed on, effectively a significant amount being passed on to the consumer, to the buyer. And that's where we'd have been facing a very difficult situation.
So far I can look on it. That is one, it is a mum of thing what America is doing right now. To me, it's a mum of. They didn't sit down and really calculate it, study it right before they come with that tariff. Because look at the coffee. They are big drink coffee drinker. And if even though you put 10%, that means out of the 100, you still have to put another 10. That will go 110 percent because you already paying 100,
yep.
And you put another 10%, and everybody in the Eastern Caribbean, in Europe, in South America, that will put everything price up in America.
Yeah, that's
it's not something they're doing, and it won't hurt them, and it'll hurt us. It'll hurt the Ethiopian. It'll hurt America itself.
Well, that's what Well, I mean, for the 10%, he might argue that, look, hey, they have a deficit and they need to raise revenue. And one can understand that argument if it's across the board. And it means that they effectively are taxing the U.S. population. They want to tax more their own people, right? So it may not necessarily be so detrimental overall. Yes, you may see a drop in trade, but 10% might not be so bad. But what was being proposed in some other instances was way, way larger. And, of course, with your major trading partners.
Yeah, but like America, some state, that's what they're growing on, sell soya beans. And the Chinese are big, big, big buyers of soya beans.
Yes, indeed.
So by the time the Chinese said, I won't buy from you your soya beans, I'm off, because they can live without the soybean.
Or they can get it elsewhere.
So right away, you destroy your whole state.
They could get it from Brazil. You know, they're getting more beef now from Australia. So, I mean, obviously, it's definitely a lot of... that's the nature of a trade war, right? You're looking to see what you can get from wherever else to bypass the country that is taking actions against you. But, caller, we're going to have to end it here, though. Thanks very, very much for calling in.
Nice.
Always a pleasure.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. And, of course, we're going to end it at this time. We're over time. So thanks for those who called in and, of course, those on our Facebook Live feed as well. Take care and have a blessed Monday. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., saying goodbye.